One of the top sites for trading Bitcoin may be gone for good.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A popular website for buying, selling, and storing the online virtual currency Bitcoin has vanished, its founder unaccounted for today. Typing Mt. Gox into the browser just now is greeted with a blank screen. The site may have been hacked to death or plundered, and angry account holders are looking for answers. Financial Times correspondent Ben McClanahan joins us from Tokyo. Morning, Ben.
Good morning.
So it's all a bit of a mystery. Mt. Gox is there a few weeks ago, and now it's not. Any idea what's going on?
Well, it is hard to establish exactly what's going on because the company itself has not said anything for a few days. And if you go down to the office today, there's a couple of angry people outside, and there have been angry people outside for the past week or so.
And if people feel they lost money in all this, what's their recourse?
Well, this is a very important question. One of the protesters I spoke to last week said he was terrified at the very idea of going to a Japanese court and asking them to hand back what he called his virtual Pokemon cards. There's really been no precedent for this kind of situation.
Now, there are alternative places to trade the virtual currency Bitcoin. Presumably, today, they're saying, we are not Mt. Gox, not all of us have these problems.
They are. Perhaps you've seen a statement from about half a dozen operators led by Coinbase. They're calling for much higher standards of safeguards and independent verification that exchanges claim to have that they really do have. The sort of institutional side of the Bitcoin industry is making every effort to make it appear that Mt. Gox is just a rogue operator.
Financial Times correspondent Ben McClanahan in Tokyo. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mt. Gox was started as a place to buy and sell Magic the Gathering trading cards. McClanahan says people can't even agree on how to pronounce it, MT or Mt. Gox. Today, President Obama is set to announce a pair of Centers for Manufacturing Innovation in Chicago and Detroit. The public-private partnerships will be launched with $140 million federal dollars to develop new factory technologies and to train the next generation of workers. Kate Davidson has more.
Chicago was such a huge manufacturing town, it used to be called City of the Big Shoulders. But Richard Longworth with the Chicago Council on Global Affairs says the area has lost 65,000 manufacturing jobs in less than a decade.
This new digital tech manufacturing center will be important. It will spin off companies. These companies will provide jobs. It does not solve the problem of the mass employment that we have lost.
Bill King is chief technology officer for the new digital lab for manufacturing in Chicago. He says in an era of cloud computing, mobile computing, and supercomputing, workers need new skills, and the center will help train them.
There are other countries that are investing heavily in automation, data technologies for manufacturing, smart manufacturing. So this is a horse race, and this Digital Manufacturing Institute will help us be competitive.
The initiative doesn't stop at Chicago city limits. The lab plans to offer tools and training to schools and colleges across the country. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Experts say the multinational import-export company known as the Sinaloa Drug Cartel is now adjusting to the capture of its chief executive, Joaquin Guzman Leora, in recent days. El Chapo, as he was known, is one of the world's most wanted criminals. The Sinaloa Federation is a vicious criminal enterprise, but it's run with a certain business rationality. Tim Fernholz is a business writer for Quartz. Hello, Tim.
Good morning, David.
So this guy is not a small businessman. I guess some might describe him as some kind of sociopathic CEO.
Absolutely. You know, El Chapo, as he's known, is probably the most successful drug trafficker in the world. And his organization is huge. It spans more than 16 countries. He makes billions of dollars in sales every year. He is a master of supply chain management, which is essentially the big challenge of the drug trade. He is definitely the Steve Jobs of cocaine.
And these are in the same vein as a global multinational legit organization. These are long supply chains. He has to get stuff and move it across borders.
Absolutely. He starts in South America typically. One of the things about the Sinaloa Cartel, which is his organization, is that it's both vertically integrated and diversified. So it deals in marijuana and methamphetamines as well as cocaine. And his ways of getting drugs across borders are myriad and pretty effective. I mean, he had aircraft, he had boats, He built submarines. He was one of the first people to build tunnels underneath the U.S.-Mexico border. He even had catapults.
Tim, did you just say catapults?
I did say catapults, yeah, like a medieval siege weapon, except instead of throwing a rock at a castle, it's throwing a bale of marijuana over a border fence.
El Chapo was on at least one list as public enemy number one. He's been on the lam for years. He knows the authorities were after him. Do you think, like any other CEO, he would have made plans for succession?
Whether or not they're his plans, I think his organization will have succession. And already the Sinaloa cartel is considered to be more of a federation, almost, of people working together rather than a top-down group. So I think if any drug cartel is in a good position to survive the loss of their leader, it's probably this one.
Tim Fernholz is a writer for Quartz. Tim, thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
The Wall Street Journal reports today that authorities are now focusing on Guzman's mentor, Ismael Zambada, also known as El Mayo, who is already a central figure in that drug cartel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.